to them. Well, pretty busy now. Yeah, he was showing off. Didn't no one person tell me this. I've been told this by several people and from several countries. That, Brother Imam, the same thing you are doing in America, you have to come here one day and do it. Now, that's the kind of man you got. That's the kind of man you got that's living off of your charity and accepting your insults. That's right. You ought to think about that. That's right. Now, let's look at something else. Instead of seeds, germination. Germination, right? You know germination. Bottom of the process. Germination. After germination, what do we get? We get growth, right? We get growth. Germination, growth. Germination, growth. Then, now we ain't talking about plant life. Let's apply this to the mind, to the conscience. The ideas have to germinate. You have to be able to conceive a productive idea, right? So you need something to germinate in the conscience, in the mind. Then after it germinates, you need it to grow, right? To develop. To grow. And then after it grows, at some point, you want it to bear fruit. Right? You want it to be, you want it to prove capable of appealing to others. And capable of serving the regeneration of others. The growth and regeneration of others. So you want it to bear fruit. So look what we're going to call that fruit. Perception. Perception. Now, scripture charged them to bear fruit. Now, we know it applies to everything. Everything that God has created for us, it should be shared with all and not denied any of God's creatures. But here, it's speaking more specifically to the knowledge. To the knowledge. Because after all, man rules, not because of his physical constitution, but because of his enlightenment. Right? Yes. So perception, unless you bear fruit, unless you bring about perception. Perception is expressed in many ways. Clarity, the light. When the light comes on, God promised the light, didn't he? And the light enables us to see. But they want us to look just at the body. Like looking at that bug. They say, hey, come to see, that's Jesus Christ. They say, just look at him. Don't take your eyes off him. If you do, you'll sink. You will sink. You want to stay above the water. Just keep looking at that Jesus Christ. Good God Almighty, my eyes are hurting. I believe that white light is going to soon make me blind. Oh. Ooh. Now I see. You don't see by looking at the body. You see by looking at what's radiated from it. The doctor, he cautions us. They say, don't look at the sun. Say, mister, don't, please. Don't go out there and look at the sun no more. So I think I have used the laser and everything, and I've cleaned up your retina. But please, don't do it again, mister. You're going to lose all your sight. You don't look at the sun to see. You look in the field of his radiation. You look in the field of his radiation to see, not at the sun. Sun looks white. You don't see by white. You see by colorless.
That's right, that's right.
When there's no color, you can see. The clear water permits sight to enter. Clear glass of water, you can see what's in it, you can see what's on the other side of it. Now take that glass of water and freeze it. And then crush it up. It becomes white. Then put something in it, you can't see it. So white is a color. White covers. But what the white man say in his dictionary? White man say that white is not a color. Color refers to all other colors but white. If you had the dictionary right here, right now, I read it to you. But you know in science they tell us that black is a hue.
That's right.
It's not a color. But read the college dictionary, collegiate dictionary, New Webster's collegiate dictionary, and it will tell you that color refers to everything but white. And they call us the colored people. And they are the white people. Right? We're the colored folks. And they're the white folks. Meaning that their body contains the light. And we are in the darkness. That's what they mean. When white man came up in the sciences, what do he call the rest of the world history? History from the dark ages. He had gotten his sciences out of that history. And then he pointed back at that history and said, dark ages. Here's what I got is the light, dark ages. So the great sciences of Greece, ancient Greece, the great sciences of the ancient kingdom of Africa that the Greeks got and brought to Greece, the great sciences of Asia, he pointed to all that and said, darkness, ancient days, darkness. But just from about 18-something is the time of enlightenment. Then he say, I'm the white man. Don't you know those people in Europe been calling themselves white people? About a few centuries in the past, say 400 or 500 years ago, they didn't call themselves white folks. They were known by color. They were known by their tribe, ethnicity, nation, etc. But not by color. I used to know even the man that came up, the man that invented the colors, recently in history. This color classification that made us black, Indians red, Asian people yellow, white man white. I used to know his name. Right now, it ain't that long ago. This thing ain't that old. Not the new Jacobite thing. It ain't that old. It's reason. All right. Now, he calls himself the white man. And you go look up the definition for white, and it means everything good. And he calls you the black man. And you go look up the definition of black, and it means everything bad.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
What does he mean when he say, I'm the white man? He mean that I am the ruler of the world. That's what he means. When he say, I'm the white man, he means I am the ruler of the world. As the sun looks white and rules the world, I'm the white man. He's saying, I'm the son of the world. That's what he's saying. He's not saying he's white in color. He's saying that he is the ruler of the world. And he's saying, you the black man, he's saying that you are the ignorant masses of the world. You don't have any light. You're black. Your light's out. Nighttime, you sleepers. That's what he's saying. Believe me. Oh, man, I know white people. White people ain't like that. Some of them are not like that. Many of them are not like that. But those that's been controlling matters are like that. Believe it or not, you ain't gonna give me nothing by believing it. Not a cent. No more righteousness or no more strength. You ain't gonna give me nothing by believing it. All right. So, how come they're so furious? How come they're so racist? So conscious of color? They hear me talking about we are Belalians. I got people who signed their birth, who put on their birth marriage license, race, Belalian. I got people who put on the new child's birth certificate, race, Belalian. If they are good people, how come they don't say, look, this color consciousness is bad for America. And this here is a Negro that's got a good idea. So at least we should put it on the news, bring him on CBS, prime time, and let him explain to the people what he's doing. Don't you think this is newsworthy, George, that Wallace Muhammad, who used to believe in black supremacy and used to call us all devils like his father taught him, don't you think this is wonderful, George, that man, Elijah's son, is the one that's trying to correct color consciousness in his own race and has suggested that they don't use a color connotation but use something that referred to their ancestors in a dignified and cultural way? Don't you think that's wonderful, George? Don't you think that's newsworthy? Don't you think we ought to have him on CBS or ABC prime time? But no. Look, this nigga got something that makes trouble for us. This nigga is dangerous. But he's a goody nigga. He's an old goody nigga. He has high morals. We done tried everything to subvert his morals. We can't get the nigga. So look, we can't come out against him. So every now and then, pay a little tribute to him. And let him soften his heart. Give him the Four Freedoms Award. Give him the Walter Ruth's Award. Put him in the company of John F. Kennedy, the big boys. Give him an award that nobody but the big boys got. You know, and that's our way of telling him, letting him know that we like him. We know he's a good nigger. He's a goody. But please, don't let that nigger message get out. Say, look here, if you have to hire a nigger for every one of his converts to watch his converts in him, do it, George. We got the money. I want to send a nigger in there for every convert he makes. So watch what he's doing and subvert what he's doing. Do anything, goddammit, to keep that nigger's message from getting out. We know what's happening. I repeat, you think Allah will show me what's hidden in this book and what's hidden in that Bible that's so old, man? The mummies from Egypt, if they were waking up, they'd say, yeah, I remember reading that. But if God has shown me into those books, do you think he won't show me a asshole nigga that come in here to work trouble? What? Huh? Well, time is running down on us. We're going to have to go on air in just about 5 minutes. At 3 o'clock, we're going to give the introduction over the sound system, so we'll be able to hear it. We'll know just when to begin. So we got a few more minutes.
So we are waiting for the time. It's going to be a few minutes. You all want to stretch your legs or something, you can do it. I think we got about 3 or 4 more minutes yet. Letting you know, all of you who are listening, that we are a community of religious people who believe in one God who created all and everything. We are a community of people that are called Muslims or Muslim. We are not Mohammedan. We do not worship the Prophet Muhammad or any other prophet, peace be on them. We worship only the Lord who created them and created us and all things. So we are not Mohammedan, we are Muslim, or Muslims, as some people in the West prefer to call us, as they know to call us, Muslim. Our place of worship offer the worship of that one God, and we don't call our places churches, but the purpose is the same, and that is to congregate, showing our obedience, our devotion to the one Lord and Creator for us all. We are not fanatics. The people who belong to my community are not fanatics, and if I discover any fanatic among us, I'll give him a good fanning. We don't like fanatics among us. In my opinion, a fanatic is one who gives himself emotionally to something while not understanding it. And the purpose of the coming of God's great messenger was to further the rational and moral life of the people, to bring them to more understanding, not to make them fanatics. So we don't have fanatics. I'm not a person that wants a lot of attention to be shown or given to me, but if you've heard some of the things I've said, you'd probably say that's the biggest-headed nigger I've ever heard speak, you know. But I wasn't saying those things in my name. I was saying those things just to draw attention to the great blessings that God can give all of us and have given many of us. So I'm not one to brag on myself or to draw any attention to myself. I don't want worshipers. Many people refer to me as Mujaddid, and many people of the immigrant Muslim community, they don't take too well to that. They don't like the idea of people in my community referring to me as Mujaddid. Mujaddid means one who revives the faith, one who renews the faith. Some books are out on Mujaddid, and they call them by the title, by the name, revivalist. So I don't make any big to-do about that either. I accept that I am the man, a leader, a representative of this faith, and a leader for those who accept my leadership. But I am not asking for people to recognize me as any special person, as a Mujaddid or a revivalist. But I know I'm revived, and I believe a lot of these people in here with me, they are revived too. Now, if revivalist means that I can make thunder in the heavens and light come down and strike a tree, or make people have leprosy, or clean them up miraculously, And then they're right, I'm no Mageddon. I don't have such powers. I don't have any supernatural powers. I've been looking for them and I can't find a one. I don't have a single supernatural power. And I've given up on it, to tell you the truth. I'm just satisfied to have only human power. So if anybody have those kind of thoughts, we want to correct that first. This community is a community that has recognition in Saudi Arabia, where the holy city Mecca is, and where Muslims make pilgrimage all over the world. Their leader, the one who's speaking to you now, is recognized as a Muslim leader in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, and in all the great centers of the Muslim world, Africa, Asia, and everywhere. This recognition is given to me on the strength of my work. I believe in one Allah, I believe in His Prophet, I'm a brother to all Muslims all over this earth. And that's what the educated people, the learned people of the Islamic world know. They know that of me. So those who are out trying to give another image of me, I wish they would stop. I don't say that I'm anything. I'm not a prophet. I'm not Christ Jesus. I'm not a prophet. I have no divine powers at all. So let's get that straight first. Now, I believe that what distinguishes us, perhaps, from most people who profess to be Muslims in the United States of America is our whole and total outlook on life. We are not about just teaching people how to pray. We want people to know how to live and to live a full life in the world. We want people to get the full benefit of this religion. This religion is based upon five principles. As the Prophet said, Buni al-Islam al-Khamsin, the religion of al-Islam is structured on five principles. The first of those principles is to confess one Lord and Creator for all, and that Muhammad is not a god, but his messenger, a human messenger. In the Quran, we are told through God's revelation to Prophet Muhammad, God tells Prophet Muhammad, say to them, I am a human mortal just like you. So we don't confuse Prophet Muhammad with deity. Prophet Muhammad is not deity. There's only one deity, that's the Creator of us all, who missioned his prophet and sent Prophet Muhammad with the last and universal message. We don't make distinction between the prophets. Our Quran tells us, make no distinction between his servants or between his messengers. One doesn't have a legitimacy over the other. They all have equal legitimacy in the prophethood of God that God established. So we don't make distinction between them. We are not people who look at Christians as being an inferior religious society. We respect the Christian society. We have high respect and high regard for the Christian society. In fact, we have a real affection for the Christian society. Our holy book tells us that we'll find the people to be nearest to us are those who call themselves Nasara. And that was one of the old names that were used in early Christian history by the Christians. It means Christians, those who call themselves Nasara, are Nazareans. Nasara are the Nazareans. And I'm sure most of the Christians understand that that is one of the first names that were given to the Christian community, Nazareans. And our books tell us, our holy book tell us, that you will find the people nearest to you to be those who call themselves Nazareans, or Christians. It is wonderful for us to note, the Muslims to note, that it was a Christian nation, a Christian government, that gave rescue, a place of rescue, to Muslims in the early beginning of the history of this religion, gave a rescue to them when they were being persecuted and oppressed by their own people in Mecca. It was the Negus, the Ethiopian leader, the Ethiopian king or prince, that opened the doors to the Muslims who were fleeing persecution in their own land and gave them protection there. So the Muslims and the Christians have a history of friendship and brotherly ties, brotherly sentiments between them. The Crusades came and ruined all of that. The Crusades were fought not to protect Christianity from our religion, or not to protect Christians from Muslims. When the Crusaders came to Spain, after 700 years of Islamic rule there, rulers who came from northern Africa, called the Moors, they had been running government in Spain for 700 years before the Crusades came there. And in Spain, Christians were thriving, and Muslims were thriving, and also Jews were thriving. They were thriving and prospering all together under the Muslim rule for 700 years. That's a longer period than we have been in America. That's a longer period than the white man has been in America. The white man hasn't been here 700 years. So that's a long, long time. We'd like the audience to know just how long that period is. We're talking about 700 years of Muslim rule, a Muslim government in Spain. And when the Crusaders came and defeated the Muslims and drove them out, the Muslims accepted their defeat. When they went out, history still shows today that many of the Spaniards came out with them, crying, tears were running down their cheeks. They were sad to see the Muslims leave. It wasn't Spain, it wasn't the Spanish people that rejected the Muslims. It was the Crusade spirit and the Crusade hunger for total dominance of the whole world. The Christians wanted to dominate the whole world, and they came to do just that. They colonized the whole world and dominated the whole world. So it was in the spirit of the spirit of the conqueror and not the spirit of the people that resented the presence of Muslims in Spain. You go there now, and the Spaniards there now are proud to show you the remains of Islamic art, the art of the Moors, the contributions of the Moors to their architecture, to the beautiful buildings and beautiful structures there in Spain, and to their art, to their general art. So we should learn each other. We should know each other better. I want Christians to know that I am in Oakland, and wherever I am, in the United States, wherever I am, I'm in here as a friend and as a brother. I'm not in here to convert people to from Christianity to Islam. But naturally, if you have something that you think is better for people, you want people to have a choice. We want people to have a choice, simply that. And we invite people from the outside to come here. Anybody is welcome to come here and to share with us what they have that's good. And if you can convert us, you're welcome to do so. I don't think anything we have is any good if it can't stand up to a test. And anytime we lock our doors and shut out voices simply because we fear that they will attract people from us, we are admitting, by doing such, we're admitting that we all don't have ourselves a high opinion of what we got. So we encourage our people to go elsewhere. Muslims, we believe we have the best religion. We believe our knowledge is the clearest and the best. But Muslims go among Christians, we go among other people. Prophet Muhammad told us to go among the Chinese. He said, go even to the far country, China, for knowledge. So we don't turn away anybody who has something to contribute to us. And if you can convert us from this religion, then you're free to do that too. Our religion says the way is open. Whoever wants it, let him accept it. Whoever does not want it, let him reject it. In spite of what we've heard, the tales of the Crusades about Muslims using force, forcing people at the point of the sword to confess this religion. In spite of that, I say the truth of the matter is in our holy book. If our holy book says such, then you can say that's our principle, that's the principle of those people. But if you can't find that in our holy book, then you have to say that either the history is wrong, are those people who conducted themselves like that in the name of that religion, they were wrong because they have no justification in their holy book. Our holy book says no compulsory in religion. La ikrar fit deen. It means don't compel anybody to come into the faith. And Prophet Muhammad himself demonstrated the freedom, the liberalness in this faith when he insisted that Jews have the same rights that Muslims have, to worship in their own way, in their own land. Now, we have these documents. They're still with us. These are historical documents where Prophet Muhammad, in his great speech and instructions to his people, told them that the Jews would have the right of worship in the Muslim country. That's when he became the ruler of Medina. Medina, the city of our Prophet, is just a few miles. You can almost take a bicycle. In fact, you can, and go to Medina. It's not that far, a couple of hundred miles or so from Mecca. That city, when it became the city of the Prophet, the people wanted him as their ruler. Then the Prophet, that was the first time that the Muslims got a society of their own. At that time, Prophet Muhammad made the announcement that the Jews will have the right of worship in the Muslim country, and no one was to interfere with their religious services. Also, our holy book tells us that Muslims are to feel a kinship with people who are truly devoted to the worship of God. Sabians, many of us don't even know what a Sabian is, but at that time there were people who believed in the one true God. Sabians, Christians, and Jews. And our book tells us that if monasteries, churches, and synagogues, and mosques in which God's name is reverenced hadn't been protected by a people against another people who wanted to defile or defame those places, our book tells us that synagogues, monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques would have been toppled, would have been torn down. So by that, we say that the Muslim have an obligation also to protect the sanctity of holy places. If any people that have not respect for God and not respect for religious worship would start tearing down churches in our neighborhood, we are a minority here. The Muslims are a minority in Oakland. But if the Muslim understands his holy book, he will feel obligated to go and join Christians or join Jews or join other people who truly believe in the one God. He would have to join them to protect their religious places. Now, if that's a dangerous people in America, then I think all of us ought to leave America. It's not safe for anybody. People who follow this religion are not dangerous. We're peacemakers. The very name that we live by, it's called peacemaker. Muslim means one who makes peace, a peacemaker. Salam means peace. We are Muslim. Our religion is al-Islam. You can hear the sound in all those words. We are Muslims. Our religion is al-Islam. And our greeting is as-salam. Means peace. Peace is our greeting. Peace is our name. Peace is our way of life. So how can anybody accuse us of being radicals, troublemakers who come here to make trouble? But if establishing what is right and standing up for the rights of Americans means making trouble, then certainly Abraham was a troublemaker. Moses was a troublemaker. Jesus was a troublemaker. Muhammad was a troublemaker. And I'm a troublemaker. I can't help it. I have to follow the leaders. If being right means troublemaking, then I'm a troublemaker. But believe me, I'm the most easy to get along with troublemaker you ever met. I'll change the subject a little bit. We want to now look at some of the problems we have in the society. Influences that pull our life out of order and put all of us in the dark and have us running blindly here and there, no direction. It's a big problem. People fed up with the old established religion. So the system is wrong. The institutions are wrong. I'm not going to depend on nobody but myself. So they leave society, leave culture, leave the institutions, leave the scripture, leave the Bible, leave the Holy Quran, leave everything, and go out on their own. Say, I'm going to start all over again by myself. I know it'll be right. They knock out all the electric bulbs, put all the modern equipment out of their houses and everything, and go back to day zero. And in the dark, they sit down and concoct or fabricate them a new religion. I hear there's something out called the Black Bible, the Negro Bible. I've never seen it, never read it. But I wonder just what that is. I hope it ain't what I've seen. I've seen some of these creations that have come up here recently. People trying to create their own God, create their own religion. It's a mess, big mess. It's Frankenstein monster. Yes, see, anything we create that is not naturally born and that is not in accord with the great works of the past is a Frankenstein monster. And Frankenstein, he was put together from dead corpse. An organ from this dead corpse, an organ from that dead corpse. And the Frankenstein scientist, he put it all together and he charged it with electricity and brought it to life. And he said, this is my man, this is my creation. So if we get to ourselves and try to create new religion, and we don't know what yesterday was, we don't understand yesterday, we don't understand scripture, we don't know yet what the world is, and in the dark, we try to create something all anew, we come up with a Frankenstein monster. We have a piece of dead theology from primitive quarter of the islands, and another piece of dead theology from a primitive quarter of Asia, and another dead piece from Africa, someplace in Africa. And we put all those dead pieces of mythology together, theology or mythology together, and we come up with our own religion. And then we introduce it, and we wonder how come people doesn't say, congratulations, a wonderful theology. It's because they see a Frankenstein monster. They are offended by the thing. Then they come out with their torches and they start chasing you and your monster. And you wonder, oh, I got a great scientific invention here. Why are these people chasing me and my harmless monster? So let us come back away from these ideas that we dream up of God and religion. Let us come together with intelligent people and let us decide what is the best course for us. It's a shame that some intelligent people among us are following ignorant white people and trying to formulate ideas under the name of color, under color labels. I hear there's a psychology going around called black psychology. I hear there are preachers who have introduced a black Jesus into their churches. They call it the black Christ. We are just reacting to the ignorant white man. We should cut that out. We have a great opportunity. Let us come together as intelligent-minded, sober-minded people, and let us help each other. Many of you out there, you can help us, and I'm sure that we can offer you something too. So let us come together for the good of us all, and let us make this a better world. Now, getting back to the influences in the society. You know, there was a time when we used to say in religion that we want to be not on the broad way, we want to be on the straight and narrow. That time is gone. People now, they don't want to be on the straight and narrow. They want to be on the Broadway. But I remember as a youngster, Christians, Muslims, all of us in religion, we were talking about the straight and narrow. If you tell someone now, say, I'm on the straight and narrow, they'll laugh at you or they'll feel sorry for you. The guy had nerve to tell me he was narrow-minded. Did you hear him? Did you hear him? He said he's narrow. But I know he used to brag about being narrow. I said, no, we are not on the Broadway. We are on the straight and narrow. Anything goes now, you know. The wider it is, the more it allows, the better it is, so they say. The more intelligent it is, the more intelligent it is, so they say. I think we need to go back to our good senses and not want to be popular at the expense of our intelligence, at the expense of our good family life, at the expense of respect between family members in the household. We should go back to the narrow and get away from this big wide thing where everything goes and everything is allowed. We should come away from that. I think narrow still has a good meaning if we understand it in that sense. We don't want anybody to be closed-minded, but we don't want anybody to be blind and foolish-minded. You know when your vision is the widest? When you're not seeing at all. That's when your vision is the widest. Just close your eyes right now for self-experience and see, isn't there darkness all around you? Now open your eyes and you see your focus is reduced. Before you were seeing darkness everywhere. You open your eyes, your focus is narrowed. So seeing is narrowing the focus. In fact, that's what focusing means. It means narrowing the field so that you give attention to details. We can't give attention to details because we're told to be too wide-eyed. Well, I don't want to see everything. I don't want everything going into my mind. I want to see what's right. And I will narrow down the focus. I will beam in on the atom size question. If that'll help me get a lot of mess out of my life. Thank you very much for listening. May God guide us to the right path and give us hearts to receive truth, to live by truth, and not persecute or hate each other for unjust reasons. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
You've been listening to the program of the American Muslim Mission. Our speaker, Walt Dean Muhammad. Today's program has come to you live and direct from 1652 47th Avenue, Oakland, 94601. For more information, call 436-7755. 436-7755. Or you may write to 1652 47th Avenue in Oakland. The zip is 94601.
That concludes the broadcast and the meeting. We thank you for being present, and especially those who stayed over, so patient with us to stay over and hear the broadcast. It helps. You know, if I was speaking to just this mic, I've done it, I can do it. But it's not as comfortable as speaking to people that you can see, you know. Or you can't see who's on that radio out there. So thank you very much.